Stephen was just beginning to speak. Pastor Stephen, there's such a prophetic anointing coming upon your life. And I know you're really strategic and you know organized and all of that. Like, I admire Pastor Stephen, the way he thinks, the way he plans, the way he put things together. And I just see that God is adding another bow, another string to you, that there's going to come this. You're going to just have this sense of the flow of the Spirit of God, and you're going to speak into it like you were already doing today. You were just starting to do that, and we're going to just see more and more happen that way. So that's really awesome. So over both churches, I just really wanted to say to you, thank you for the hunger that you have for the presence of God. And as you're led, you're not just watching someone sing up here or a couple of people. How cool was it having, what was his name? Julian. Alter and is it Edward? They're already cool. We already know they're cool. But there was another level of cool then with Jules here today. But the thing is, it's not about musicians and the ability to sing in key, because I don't have that ability. It's the ability to worship and desire the presence of God. Your days of just coming to be entertained by church, or sort of coming and sort of, you know, turning up 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late to church, and, you know, we'll just wait till the message comes and we've ticked the box, we've been to church. I believe that there's an invitation for you. If the Queen invited us to come and meet with her, we wouldn't be just, you know, scrolling in at, you know, 15 minutes after the appointed time. Hey, Gun, love, great to see you. Awesome. High five. It's not the Queen anymore. If you see the Queen now, I mean, amazing. You must be in heaven. It's Charlie. If you high five Charlie, you're good. But if someone important, like the Prime Minister, invited us to his place, we would make sure we're there early, we're on time. The thing that I love about, and this has got nothing to do with my message, this is just part of equipping, okay? So we understand Sunday mornings is equip time. And this is not about a pastor trying to get people here on time. No. It's about a belief system. It's about a mindset. A change of mind. I don't come to church whenever I come to church just to get in there so I attend a church. That's one way we exist. But can I just say to you, C3 Kwinana, your days for doing that is gone, because it's about the hunger that you have for his presence. And so the Bible says that when we come into that place, we bring our sacrifice. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's your offering that you're bringing. So it's not about going, oh, I'll just turn up whenever I want to turn up. It's coming like, man, I can't wait to get into that place so I can bring my offering of thanksgiving. Even if my week's been really tough, even if I've been going through whatever I've been going through, God, thank you that you're faithful. We sang about it today. We sang about his faithfulness. Now, I know when we sing, we can sing and we can filter the song through my perspective. You've been faithful to me. But how would you just go, God, you're faithful. Even if my marriage, even if my head, even if my mental health, even if my physical health, no, God, I want to bring my offering of thanksgiving. Because our lives, if our lives are going to be determined by our circumstance, you are going to have a roller coaster Christian life. But if your life is determined by what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, you will never have a boring, dull, depressed, unbelieving Christian life. Because we come to the place, we gather here together. The Bible says we're two or three are gathered, and I'm seeing you guys taking out more seats. And Quinana, like, hold on, because it's gonna get full. Is it okay for you, someone, to sit in your seat? Is it okay if they come in and they just don't look like normal? Is it okay if they come in and they just loaded as well? Like, whoa, hello. But if we can just love people. But the thing that we gather together is unto him. I come because I want to gather with you to him. He's the focus, not you. As good looking as you are, as handsome as you are, as good a musician as you are, I love that. Or as annoying as you are. Or you just really like getting under my skin as you are. Hey, listen, all of that. As uncomfortable, as not out of my whole personality type, all of that as you are, we come as we are, but we come to the one who is. So every Sunday, you're bringing it. I can't wait to bring my offering. I'm going to bring my offering of praise, my offering of thanksgiving, because that's how we enter his presence. We're not hoping for some sort of mystical feeling. The Bible actually instructs us, enter his gates. The gates is where his authority is. The gates where they would do business deals and all of that. It's the gates of that presence, of governance. So I enter God's place where he rules with thanksgiving. And Philippians tells us that, hey, listen, you're anxious, you're worried. Because we go anxious, oh God, please help me not to worry. Oh God, please help me not to be anxious. Oh God, please take my circumstances away. You're missing the point. He already knows, the Bible says, before you pray what you need to pray. So he says, but when you pray, with prayer, supplication, that's like, God, I need you to break through in this situation. God, I'm desperate for you to break through because my marriage is falling. My health is falling. Whatever the diagnosis, and God, I'm desperate. He says, with prayer and supplication, earnest prayer. And then he brings in the source with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known. Why? Because he knows the power of thanksgiving. God, I thank you in spite of that you're with me. God, in spite of that you're faithful. God, in spite of that you're going to lead us. God, in spite of that you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. See, what that does is it takes my mind and my focus off the things that I'm facing, and it puts me back onto him. So when you come to church, you're not looking at the people that you're hanging out with. You're looking as unto him. Because that's when you encounter him. He says, and the Bible says that when you gather and when you dance and you celebrate before him, he joys over you with singing. He joys over you. God dances over you with singing. Sorry, no flow. He dances over you with singing. And if you read Isaiah 42:10, he talks about that, how he, like a man of war, is released when you sing a new song to him. Come on, let's get past the level that we've existed. I don't like this song. I don't even know the words. So I'll stand here. I'll scroll through my phone. Or I'll think about what's for lunch. No, no, lose all that and come and just, God, I'm here. Don't know the songs. When we were in Uganda, 3-hour service, 1.5-hour song service, nothing in English. I could have easily just gone, oh, my gosh, it's like so long. But it's not about the song as it is about the person that we're singing to. So it doesn't matter if they're singing in English, not in English. Song you like, song you don't like. We worship him. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. And then he says, all right, so now they're in the gate. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do next? He says, now enter his courts with praise. So that's the court. That's like entering into that next space with God. So I've brought my prayer, my supplication, but I've just come to say thank you. It's thank you, thank you. And it takes my focus on his lordship versus my circumstance. And now that I'm in that place, Father, I want to praise you that you're the God that heals. Father, I want to praise you that you're the God that heals marriages. God, I want to praise you for my kid, whatever they're going. God, I want to praise you that you're still there. You're still in control. God, I want to praise you. And so then praise begins to come from your heart. Before you know it, song service is over. But what you've done is you've just haven't attended church. What you've done is you've encountered his presence. Know how to get into his presence for yourself. All right. That was part of the equipping. Write that down. Put that in your notepad. So that every time, I think it's the Passion version, Our Father prayer, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think it's the Passion. I'm not sure totally. But it says, Heavenly Father, I become aware of, I stop. Heavenly Father, as close to me as the air that I breathe, I stop and I become aware of you. We can do that again. Heavenly Father, as close to me as the air that I breathe, I stop and I become aware of you. I haven't heard God. I haven't felt God. I haven't. Heavenly Father, as close to me as the air that I breathe, I stop. Stop the busyness. Stop the running. Stop the excuses. Stop the... And I become aware of you. And when you become aware of you, of him, that's when you find the thing that you're actually looking for. All right. Good. All right. Let's go straight to scripture because I said I wasn't going to talk and I have. Let's just read scripture first and then we'll come back to the stories that I've got. Is that okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's all about the one. We're talking about this whole year. Well, it's going to be the focus of your year. And but we've had the meeting with Fremantle, then the leaders this week, and we were back here as well last week, meeting with the leaders in the middle of the week. We're talking about, it's about the one. It's about that one person that God is going to get you to reach out to, love on, and show Jesus Christ. The Bible calls us light of the world and the salt of the earth. So I just want you to know that because of the Jesus Christ on the inside of you, everywhere that you go, you will make life better and you will make life brighter. And so that's who you're called to. When you're rehearsing about all the things that are wrong and you're making life harder and difficult, you've missed who you are in Christ. Christ says you're salt and light, no matter who you are, no matter how much you know about him. So when you're in your workplace, you're not giving your boss a piece of your mind because you don't like how they're leading you. No, you are light and you are salt. To your workmates, to all of those, to your in your home life, that's what you become. Because what you're doing is you're saying, God, I want you to reflect out of me. So how do I make this situation better, not worse? And how do I make this situation brighter, not darker? Because why? You're salt and light. Just believe it. Just that's who you are. He's salt on you. Who loves salt on their? Not a lot, but a little bit of like chicken salt on chips. Anyway, have you ever bought chips? Not that I do, because obviously look at this machine right here before you. But you know when you drive away and there's not salt on the chips? It's like, seriously, call down fire from heaven. No, don't do that. You will turn around, go in, ask for the salt, or you just don't enjoy the chips. But then do this favor, do this trick. I did it with my daughter one time. We visited all the fast food places. For those that are healthy, I apologize right now. And you're just like, whose chips are the best? Like KFC's chips or McDonald's chips or Chicken Treat or Red Rooster? It's got nothing to do with our message, just something that for you to do. All right, let's read. But you are salt and light. So this is the Apostle Paul, and he writes this. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. The Apostle Paul is in a situation where he's talking to the church of Corinth because they're not so sure that he's got this. Like, you call yourself an apostle, but bro, we're not sure if you're qualified for. And so now Paul, prior to coming to faith and prior to coming to Christ, was a man that grew up in a place called Tarsus. Now, we know the scripture calls him Saul of Tarsus. Now, Tarsus was a place which was the hub of education, was the hub of business, was the hub of wealth. It was this affluent area, this affluent space where people that were affluent, rich, gathered. And so we see that Paul grows up in a family. Now, his dad was a Pharisee and a tent maker. So he was a businessman as well as he was up in the upper echelons of in regards to religion and all of that sort of thing. So he was looked up upon, like, wow, they're like, you know, goals, hashtag goals, want to be like that sort of thing. And so we see that this Paul grows up, born similar time to Jesus, just totally different places. And he now grows up. He studies because he's his dad's high level. He studies under this guy, Gamaliel. And Gamaliel is one of the top level teachers. And 8 years, Paul studies after all the other studies that he's done. But now he's in the sort of school of Pharisees. And now he's studying. It's like university for the elite. He studies under this guy. And he just smashes it, does so well. He's out of there for 2 years. And then he gets invited to what they call the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a group of about 10 leaders who were the elite of the elite, the top level. That's where the high priest was associated with. So they would make the rules and they would discuss what's going to be happening and that they would implement it. And then they would enforce those rules. Everyone had to abide by the rules that they set. So this is just context for this guy, Paul, who was highly educated. And then also he was Rome. He was made a Roman. She's gone out of my brain. A citizen of Rome. That's it. So they were Jews, but because they owned substantial land, Rome gave them citizenship. So they were citizens of Rome. So you get the picture that Paul's not coming from a broken, povo sort of situation. He's coming from a place where there's absolutely enough affluence and influence in his life. He's now in this top-level group, and then they start hearing about this sect that has started out in Jerusalem, about a guy that's claiming to be God, or the Son of God, and that he's getting followers now. And so he's sent to go find out more. He goes, he finds out, he comes back and he says, well, they're just commoners, they're just poor people, they're just fishermen, they're not really high level, they're not really a threat. But then they said, but what we're hearing is that the influence of this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, who's getting all these people and influencing them, is turning a people away from what we are saying. He's claiming to be the light of the world. We're meant to be the light of the world. That's who we are. We're the ones that only show people the way to go forward. We're the light. So we see this whole conversation about Paul. In all of that, just to say this, he now goes and starts enforcing and inquiring and threatening and intimidating these new sect of people and saying, listen, if you keep going on talking about God and Jesus being the Son of God, we're going to need to take you out. We're going to arrest you. We're going to put you in prison. Goes, doesn't change. They don't. In fact, it gets worse. Then they start enforcing. And then that's where we come in the book of Acts, where Philip just talks about who God is and expresses it more. And the Sanhedrin, the top level people, get so enraged that they stone him to death. And then the church just spreads. One, on for self-protection, and two, the gospel just spreads along with them as they go. I tell you all of that to give you context about this is the guy that's writing right now. He has an encounter with Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. And Pastor just spoke about that, that when we gather together, God encounters us in such a way that he causes our life to change. I was telling a story at Fremantle that when I was younger, I had a mullet afro. I had a nice big, like, not big, but I had an afro. I didn't have the dome like you see today. And in my mullet afro days, I thought I was really cool. And everyone else thought I was cool, but I wasn't really cool. And I started doing hip-hop dancing at lunchtime, and I started doing all of that and break dancing, and I could mix it with the best. I don't even know how to do it. I was doing the Running Man. It didn't probably look like the Running Man. I do the Caterpillar, but I think I was more like, you know, those beetles on the lawn beetles. When you turn them over, they just can't get up. That was probably me. But back in the day, I was skinny. I just wanted you to know. I was skinny, and I had an afro, and I was good looking. I thought I was. Well, hey, I'm just saying. There's fruit, people. There's fruit. I mean, either that or, well, my wife's wearing glasses, so that could have been an issue as well. So anyway, I'm in this crew that's hoping that we dance at lunchtimes in the drama room. It's hoping to then, from that, you go to do these dance-offs in the city or at the shopping centres, and then from there you go into the next level, and then from there, ultimately, you dance off in the clubs. But I'm sitting one day, or laying on the floor after I've come home from school, eating half of mum's the food in the fridge, because that's what you did at that age. And I'm listening to a song by Andre Crouch called Tell Them. And my heart begins to break. The picture of the song is, hey, listen, I'm wanting to tell that lonely man that doesn't have a home, tell them that I love them. And those two people that are walking there all alone, tell them that I love them. And it goes through these all different scenarios of people that are going through life, and God is just wanting someone to go and tell them that I love them and that I came to set them free. And something in my heart just breaks. And it's no, it's ugly snot cry. It's not just a tear running. It's, and trying not to be too loud, and crying, and the snot's running, and all of that sort of thing. And then I hear my mum from the back room. Now, my mum was blessed to have five boys, no girls. I think she was trying for girls, but never got there. Although some of my brothers, I'm not sure. But anyway, so we're trying. She's trying. She has five beautiful boys, but she'd lost a smell somewhere along the line. Maybe it's because of having five boys. So she couldn't smell anything. And so mum was hanging the washing outside. She comes racing through the laundry door. Clint, turn the stove off, turn the stove off. And I'm getting up because I'm crying, and I'm running into the kitchen to turn the stove off, but there's nothing on the stove. I said, why do you want the stove off, mum? She says, there's a cloud. I thought that I left the pot on. There's this massive cloud in the house. She thought it was smoke from the burning pot. And can I say this to you? Because on Tuesday night when I was with you, with your leadership team, what I did see that there was such a cloud of the presence of God in your space, in that space. I thought it was my blurry eyes. I thought it was my glasses maybe that are dirty. But for the first time I didn't see the cloud with mum. Mum saw the cloud. But I wanted to let you know that there is an open heaven over you, C3 Fremantle, C3 Kwinana, that God wants to you to know that He's about to extend whatever you feel or thought were the limitations that you want to grow by. God is going to far extend that. And it's not just by numerical growth. It's about your spiritual growth. There's going to be such evidence of the presence of God. The Bible says, when the glory of God, with the manifested presence of God, when God manifests His presence, not just like, that was a great feeling. No, we're going to see the presence of God. You're going to see the presence of God because He's creating an open space for that presence to come on. All right, so that's why I'm inviting you to praise. I'm inviting you to thanksgiving. I'm inviting you into that space. Why? Because that's where He's going to engage you. That's where His glory is going to fall. So all these stories that I'm telling you, they're just really building to that one point that God wants to encounter your life like He did to Paul. Paul was running the opposite way, crucifying and killing Christians, and God encounters him. That's what I'm saying to you. There are people that are going to come into your life or your church that aren't going to look, feel, speak like normal Christians do. But it's your job and your role to actually bring them into a space where God can encounter them. Because when He encounters them, He changes their life forever. And Paul, in that one moment of encounter, transcends all expectations, and the church is birthed in such a significant way, especially to people that are Gentiles, unilluminated ones. So God is letting you know He's going to reach the people through you. All right, let's give the Lord a clap and then... And in closing, my introduction, let's read. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. Let me read that again because I know we listen to that through our Christian ears. For Christ's love compels us. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the earth. Before. So when it came to crucifixion, God wasn't surprised. God already had a plan. And we spoke about this briefly last week, that in Corinthians it says, if the enemy or the principalities and the powers of that age and of the air knew what they were doing when they crucified Jesus, they would not have done it. Because what that did, put into progress the redemption plan of God. And this is what Paul's saying. Paul is having had a first hand experience, an eyewitness account where God literally takes him and encounters him, throws him off his donkey or his horse, speaks to him. He's blind for 3 days. And then God sends one guy, Ananias, to him. And Ananias is going, Jesus, you must be crazy. Because you want me to go to this guy that kills Christians, arrests Christians, takes them away from their family, does all of this sort of thing. We've heard what's happened to Philip. We heard what's happened to these other guys. And so we just really are conscious, or Stephen, not Philip. We're really concerned about getting into that space. And God sends him. If we're talking about all about the one, you need to understand that God's going to give you assignment for people that you're going to go, listen, God, I don't think I want to go into that situation. When God gives you, when His presence comes on your life, what you're going to find that even when you step outside of your comfort zone and say hi to someone, talk to someone, or looking at someone's circumstance and go, I just need to avoid that, whether that's be what their belief system is, whether they're what they identify as, whatever that is. Come on, we're not exclusive. These are people in our communities that are searching for identity, and they're sort of really proactive in that whole sense. But that's not for us to be afraid. That is for us to be loving to people. And we can love people without debating like, oh, I don't believe. We can just love who you are. Because when God encounters them, it's going to be phenomenal. But they're not going to look and smell like we do. And they're not going to believe like we do. And they're going to use expletives. And they're going to do all of that. But this is what Paul's saying to them. He's saying, hey, listen, guys. If you're going to be doing this thing about faith, listen to really, really quickly. He says, "The Christ's love compels me. Not my obligation, not my roster, not any other reason. But it's because of Christ's love. Church, if I can encourage you with everything on the inside of me. Someone said to me, Clint, you just talk about the love of Christ, but it's not. You need to be like direct and you need to be opposing to these things. We're in the needle stuff, no needle all of that. And I'm not here to discuss that. But just to love people in the midst of that brought about transformation. That's all it is. We want to defend. We want to put up our evidence. We want to argue. We want to debate. No. Just love them. Hey, listen, we might not agree, but I just want you to know I really care about you. I don't know. I just want you to know the church and the church this and the leadership this. Hey, listen, we're going to really love you. We're not going to kick you out. But we are going to tell you to pull your head in because we really love you. We're going to love you into freedom. Because we know, church, when someone doesn't agree, when someone gets, you know, upset with us, and then it's easy for them just to go, it's easier for us to kick them out. Or to go, hey, listen, don't let the door hit you in the bum as you go. But I think what God's bringing the church is the ability to love the unlovely in such a way that's going to transform them and others. Because when Paul gets transformed, he then starts preaching the word of God and starts writing. And this is one of the letters he's writing. And that's what I just want to end on today. Where's Elta? Come on up, Elta. For Christ's love compels us. For Christ, you know, I really like you, deal. No. Christ's love. Let's just talk about that for a second. We know for God so loved, and Christ is part of God, we get that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ so loved you and I that when the Heavenly Father said, listen, we're going to need to pay a price to redeem that which was lost back. And Jesus, I need you to go. I need you to leave all of heaven. I need you to leave all your deity. I need you to leave. Like you're not going to be in that space in that way again. I need you to go. It's a huge sacrifice. He's getting 24/7. You are holy, holy, holy. He's in a love relationship with the Spirit and the Father. He's in that space. And God would say, it's all about the one. For God so loved the world that whosoever, not that the Christians, that the good people, that the rich people, it's the whosoever. Turn to your neighbor and go, whosoever. Like whosoever. One more time, whosoever. Whosoever. And in Psalm 25, he goes, hey, listen, Moses. The Bible's in Psalm 25, he says that God confides in those that he loves. Goes to Moses, Moses, I've got a whole nation of people that are my people, and they're in slavery. And I've come down to rescue them, and I'm sending you. Like, Moses would have gone, oh, God, you can do that all on your own. You're God. Like, awesome, great. I'm happy looking after sheep, watching bushes burn. But Moses goes. Quinana, C3 Quinana. God was to be here in this place, which he is. And he's saying to each and every one of us, I've died for everyone. But would you let them know? Would you let them know? Would you let that woman that's in domestic violence, would you let them know? Would you let that single mom, would you let her know? Would you let those kids that are just running a riot? Can someone just go tell them? Would someone go for me and tell them that I love them? And that I've came and I've paid the price for them to be in relationship with God, and I want them to know. And I'm sending you. It's great to have an invitation. Could you go for me? It's more powerful to accept that invitation and go, God, I will. Because that's what Paul's doing right here. He's saying, guys, you need to know. Whether you like me, whether you agree if I'm an apostle or not, doesn't deter what I do. What I'm coming to you with is because Christ loved me. You will never burn out in church if you live from a place of the cross. My life is not my own anymore. It's hid in Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives on the inside of me. Do you know what that means? That when that person needs healing, It's Christ on the inside of you. It's never you that heals, but because Christ lives on the inside of me. Let me end with this. And I understand Christ's love, and that's what he's saying. But he says, well, that's what drives me now. Quinana, I pray that you would be driven by the love of Christ. It's like, I can't help it. He loves me, so I want to let you know that he loves you. I want to let you know that Christ loves you, because I'm just going to be kind to you. I'm just going to say hi to you on the bus. I'm just going to talk to you. I'm just going to pray for you in that situation. The love of Christ, it's not because Pastor Stevens asked or PC, Pastor Clint came in, spoke a message. It's not about any of that. It's because God loves me so much that he gave his son for me, and his son gave his life for me and took the judgment and the punishment for my sin upon him and my shame and my guilt. And you know what? This life I live by faith in the Son of God. It's not my life anymore. I don't live it by my wants, my desires, what I need, God is better, and the I, the me, myself, and I. No. I live because of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My Father who loves me, that knows my life from beginning to end, that's called me. I get to live my life for him every single moment of the day. Why? Because he loves me. If you do everything because you love him, you'll get offended. You'll get people doing whatever, but it doesn't take you out. Jesus on the cross. God, why am I dying for these stupid people? You know what? I invested my life and they betrayed me. I'm going to call down angels. I'm getting down and I'm coming back there. Forget them. Freedom is God, in spite of what they're doing, Father, forgive them. That's freedom. When you try to say hurt and do, and I don't get hurt and do, and I can love you in spite of that, freedom. Freedom. How cool would that be? When people tease you, bully you because you're a person of faith, freedom, I can just love you. I'm not going to get upset by you, I just love you. It's okay. God loves you. Anyway, last thing. Yeah, I like this guy playing. It's awesome. It's a prophetic song on your lips. The desire that you have for the presence of God is literally going to be inviting his presence to come in and settle in a space. Continue to go after him as you do. You know how to encounter him. There's a well-trodden path into his presence. You know how to do that. And God's going to give you this song of deliverance. Yeah, it's a song of deliverance, yeah? And I want to say to you, Quinana, that God is actually going to bring so many people bound by. Gone are the days where people will come in here with demonic oppression and possession and leave without even being changed in any way. Oh, but we don't know enough. Imagine if someone just manifested right now. Oh my gosh, well, I got to pray some more. No, Jesus Christ has finished the work. We represent who he is. We're coming from a place of love. Father, set them free from this bondage. Don't have to be afraid of it. Just deliver them. Set them free. God, bring freedom. Okay? We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. All right? And we love not our lives unto death. Oh, I can't pray for that, because what happens if nothing happens? If I pray for that healing and nothing, that's you. That's not loving your life unto death. That's being concerned about your life and what you think about you and what you think others will think about you. Forget you. Build a bridge. Get over yourself. I'm trying to be really nice. Sorry, I'm trying not to. But the Bible says that to take up our cross, we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Followers of Jesus aren't just people that attend church. Followers of Jesus, you're absolute weapons. You're filled with Jesus. That's right. That's who you are. That's why I invite you. It's not that you're losing. You're actually gaining much more. But this is what's keeping you out of the gain. So that's why he says, deny yourself. Don't get upset. Don't get offended. Don't get it all, whatever. Just deny that. Don't stand up for your right. I've got to stand up for my rights. No. Just forget that. That's a deception that keeps you out of the limitlessness of God. Just ask Lucifer, how did he go with that whole, oh, I just want to be like the Most High God. It limited him. Couldn't be in the presence of God. Self-centeredness is just a real lie from the enemy to keep you out of the presence of God. Anyway, we're done. I've got so many messages for you. Sorry, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant. Hope you're okay. But listen to this, last verse. We're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And I get this picture. Sorry for those that can't see me. I get this picture of so many people dead in their sin. And you're that resurrected life. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Wouldn't that be a cool movie wherever you walk, then people just started coming at from, you know, rising from the dead? It's not because cool we are, it's because what he's done. He died for all. You don't have to go to an eternity without Christ, without God. He loves you. And he wants to resurrect you, your marriage, your kids, whatever that looks like, resurrected life. And he died for all, that those who live, okay, those who live, that's each and every one of you who've made Christ your Lord, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. That's the invitation. Hey, I died for you, gave my life for you, gave everything. And listen, you can live for yourself. I get it. The gift's not going to change. But the invitation to the next, to life in Him, to be a follower of Christ, stop living for yourself. Stop it. Whether you feel like it, don't feel like it. Can do, can't do. My insecurity, my fear, because your fear is saying, no, you're still in control. My anxiety, if I just worry a bit more about this, then I'll be able to change the situation. Stop it. Repent. Sounds really harsh, Pastor Clint. No, just change your mind about it. I can't do this, God. I can't hold on to. My worry's not going to change. My anxiety's not going to change. My fear is not going to change. And you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but you've given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when we're praying to God, sometimes we feel like we're going to try to so hard to pray just to get past fear so that we can get power, love, and a sound mind. It's a spirit. He said, I've given you my spirit of love and of power and a sound mind. So, but what are you doing about enforcing that? Are you just rehearsing your fear and you're rehearsing your fear and you're just saying, God, I deny everything you purchased on Calvary because my fear is greater than that. That's why he says, change your mind. Turn from that. Because what he's done, my fear was on the cross. My anxiety was on the cross. My worry was on the cross.